Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, my name is Mihad, and this is my podcast or show, wherever you're at. It's basically a podcast where we focus on self-improvement through Islam and just generally girl talk. So I've been doing this Ramadan series where each week I do like a check-in with you guys, and then I do a topic of y'all's choice or my choice following it. So it's week 3, which is crazy because my brain does not like register 4-week Ramadan versus like 3 groups of 10 days, if that makes sense. So the fact that like last week people were saying like, oh, the last 10 days starts in like a few days, I was like, what? Like this is for me the fastest Ramadan like that I've ever had. And I feel like as you get older, it just gets faster and faster and faster, unfortunately. But I hope everyone is taking advantage of Ramadan this year and of the last 10 days. So I wanted to do an episode where I talk about the 10 things that I'm going to be doing or that I'm going to try to be doing in the last 10 days so that it can motivate you guys. And then you guys can comment. Well, you can't comment on here, but you can DM me or you can, I don't know. Like, I wish podcasts had a comment section. That's literally why I made the Patreon, because I was so annoyed by like the fact that I wanted to do a podcast, but I couldn't get like a comment section. But anyways, my Patreon girlies will be letting me know what they think, so that's good. But yeah, I want to be able to benefit you guys benefit me, all that good stuff. So like I said, before we go into the topic, I like to do like check-ins with you guys, like how's our Ramadan going, how's everyone feeling, and just kind of giving you guys my experience to see if anyone relates, okay? But I feel like at this point in Ramadan, like people start to forget like what day it is, like with the exhaustion, and like they just don't know. We don't know what's going on, okay? We don't know what's going on. But I have some really exciting things coming up. Tomorrow I have a flight to Texas. That's so exciting. I'm so happy and blessed that I got to do Ramadan with my husband, and now I get to experience it with my family and friends. He's also coming for Eid, but like a little bit later. So I'm so freaking excited for that. Because just like seeing all my friends on their socials like post about our masjid, like I miss it so freaking much. I miss it. So that's really fun. Another fun thing, something so freaking fun, is that I started a YouTube channel. And like I had had like a video up before, but I hated it, so I literally privated it so fast. But I basically started a YouTube channel a couple days ago, and I am having the time of my life. I think I said that podcast was like my favorite thing to do, and it is, because I love talking, but like YouTube, I get to talk and show you guys stuff, so it's literally a mix of both like Instagram and podcasting. It is so fun, y'all. It is so fun. If you don't follow me, or if, God, I'm new to this, if you're not subscribed to me on YouTube, please go do so and watch my videos. I have 3 videos out right now. One of them is like a vlog, and then the other 2 is this new segment I started. Like one of the girls in the Patreon suggested that I do like a chit chat chai video, which is basically where I make chai and then I sit down and I chit chat. And by chit chat, I mean freaking talk to you guys for an hour, because I don't know when to shut up, but it's okay, because I know that you guys like the content and you like the longer podcast episodes and YouTube videos and all that stuff. So that has been so exciting. It's been a childhood dream of mine to become a YouTuber. When I'm older, I'm going to become a YouTuber. I tried to become a YouTuber when I was little, but my mom found out and she like made us delete everything. So I feel like everyone has collectively had that experience where they tried to like go into fame, and then we all got humbled so fast. But that's also what I've been doing. What else? I feel like, okay, so I also got my period like 7 days ago, so this whole week was like my period week, so I can definitely relate to the TikToks I see where people are like, when I get my period in the last 10 days, and they like hit their head on the wall or something like that, because it does suck. And the thing is, like, I always told you guys that I always have 2 kind of like people in my brain just battling each other all the time. So one of them is like, oh my god, you're on your period, you can't do anything, you're gonna disconnect from Ramadan, and you haven't done anything, and you suck. And then the other person is like all rainbows and sunshine, like, are you kidding me? You're doing great for what you can be doing, and you're getting rewarded for the things that you want to be doing. Guys, if you don't know, Did you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, if you intend to do, like, a good deed, so let's say before you got your period, you intended this entire week to be praying and in the masjid and all that stuff, and doing Quran and ibadah and all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for the deed, even if you didn't do it. He gives you one full good deed. But if you did do it, He gives you more reward. However, there's so many things we can be doing as girls on our period or on our menses. I like that word, menses. There's so many things we can be doing. Like, so you're telling me we're already getting good deeds for things we didn't even do? Like, people are praying tarawih, and we don't even have to pray, and we're getting the deeds. Come on, like, bro, we are low-key have the cheat code. It's not like a negative thing, but it does suck because mentally, if you're not, like, actually physically doing the acts of worship, then you are going to feel a little bit disconnected from Ramadan and from your deen. So my advice for that is what I like to call keep the fire going. Okay, so what I did, even though I got my period, is I still took my butt to tarawih. I still, because you know why? You know why I went to tarawih? Now, I didn't go every single night because obviously my brain won sometimes and was like, you don't have to go, like, you literally can't pray, what are you gonna do? And I was super tired also, like, periods deplete you, my cramps were so bad and all that stuff. So we do have, like, what's it called, a little bit of leg room, whatever, when it comes to not doing exactly what we were doing before. However, I still went sometimes. And if someone can tell me the ruling on if women can be in the musalla when people are praying, I don't know if that's like a rule for fard or for tarawih, but I heard it's better for people on their period to be not in the musalla. But I don't know if that's like if your musalla is closed or open. Anyways, I was in the back while everyone's praying, and I'm literally reading English Quran, like the translation, while he's reciting, and it connected me more than literally anything else. Because guess what? Now I know what I'm reading. I'm reading the story of Yusuf. I'm reading the story of the aunt. I'm reading the story. Like, I'm reading with him, the sheikh, and it's so exciting because I just feel like there's still so much we can do to connect with our deen, and going to the masjid, like, made me still feel connected, you know? Like, you just have to put in the effort, I feel like, to feel connected. So if you're on your period, don't think like, okay, now that I'm on my period, I can do literally whatever I want. I can listen to music, or I can, like, just scroll on my phone all day, or I don't have to go to the masjid, or I shouldn't, like, you know, do stuff. Still do your same routine, girl. Still do your same routine. But yeah, that's my advice. Anyways, so as for the check-in, like, in terms of how am I feeling religiously, and this might be, like, a personal problem, I always feel like I'm not doing enough, or I am not enough in general, so I'm working on that, reframing my thoughts to every day is a new day, I can do better today than I did yesterday, I don't have to beat myself up for not doing enough yesterday, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that I'm trying, and I can instead of beating myself up, make dua that He allows me to have more of, like, a drive to do extra acts of worship in this month. So yeah, there's that. I'm, like, stressed because I feel like this is, like, a weird part of Ramadan. It's like you just finished, like, 3 weeks, everyone's kind of burnt out, and now you have to push for the last 10 days, and it's like you feel excited, nervous, anxious, motivated, exhausted, like, everything. This is like pushing Muslims to their, like, this is really like seeing what you can be, if that makes sense, but in an exhausted state, especially those of you who are working and doing school. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. I don't know if you knew, but anything you do for the sake of Allah and in His name is an act of worship. So literally studying to become a smarter Muslim and provide for your family, or all that stuff, is literally worship. So you are worshiping, girl. Don't think because you were at school all day and had to study all night that you are not worshiping. You are worshiping. Obviously, it's important to add other acts of worship in there, in the little sandwich, but just a little motivation for you that you are doing great. And if you don't think you're doing great, guess what? That's a good thing, because if you have the drive to do better, you can do better. Oh my God, I'm so motivational, right? I'm actually speaking to myself, everyone, if you're wondering. I'm speaking to myself, trying to motivate myself for these last 10 days, because even though, like I said, it's not like a negative thing to be on your period, it definitely takes like a toll mentally. So I'm so excited because I think I get off my period tomorrow. and I'm like ready to go ham. Oh, not ham, sorry. I'm ready to go crazy ballistic, inshallah, inshallah. I am nervous though because I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to Texas, and then I'm going to be around a lot of people I know, and I want to make sure I still focus on my worship and my ibadah, and it doesn't get like more of like the social aspect of Ramadan. So nervous for that. But that being said, I think that was literally one of my points. So let me get into the 10 things for the last 10 nights. So we all know Laylatul Qadr. If you don't know what Laylatul Qadr is, it's a night, a very, very important and blessed night in Ramadan. Whoever observes Laylatul Qadr with faith and seeking the reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them for all of their previous sins. Oh my gosh, cheat code for money off, for real. Like, imagine all your previous sins. Imagine, you know how like reverts, when they come to Islam, all their sins are being erased? Wow. That's like literally confirmed. Now this one, it's like we have to actually like achieve it and like make sure we caught Laylatul Qadr. And I'll talk about it later, but like catching Laylatul Qadr is a little bit more complicated than I thought. But the reward of what you do on Laylatul Qadr, literally that night is greater than 1,000 months. Are you kidding me? Like imagine sitting and reading Quran for 10 minutes on Laylatul Qadr, and literally it counts for 1,000 months of you reading Quran. Like that's crazy. That's actually insane. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Number one, removing all sins. Thank God. And then rewards for 1,000 months. Insane. Insane. Anyways, so like I was saying, I'm going to start with number one of the 10 things that I'm going to do, I'm going to remember, and I'm going to try to implement in the last 10 days. So number one is I'm trying to implement the mindset that every day is a new chance, like every single day, okay? And this whole idea that we should only be focusing on the odd nights is problematic, because what if we got Ramadan wrong? Like what if we sighted the moon wrong and then we are like a day behind, and the even days could be the odd days and the odd days could be the even days? Anyway, scholars say that we should focus on all of the 10 days because you never know. So I'm definitely going to try to take that advice. I feel like on the odd nights, we're so motivated. And then on the even nights, we're like, it's okay. It's not today. But who knows? Like, literally, who knows? Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. I think we should focus on all the nights, which is obviously harder said than done. Easier said than done. What the heck? Brain rot. But the number one was that every day is a new chance, because I talk about this all the time, down with perfectionism, y'all. Like, we are not trying to be perfect. We're not trying to think to ourselves, oh, my friend read the whole Quran this Ramadan and I haven't even picked it up. No, because today you're going to pick it up, babe. Down with perfectionism. Just try to be better. You know what I mean? Sorry for yelling. I'm only on number one and I'm already yelling, bro. Y'all know how I get. Sorry. Okay, number two. Spend the day learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I noticed that my Ramadan nights were like only good, beneficial, all that stuff after Maghrib. Or like literally after Aisha sometimes, which is crazy because that sets the tone for your night. So if you spend the whole day on your phone, when you get into Salat in the night, you are not going to be like having focus or khushu. Like you're not. You're going to be literally having TikTok audios in your brain. The Ariana Grande song, like it's going to be in your brain. We can't be friends. You see what I'm saying? Like, I know that's playing in your head when you're praying, astaghfirullah. So we need to spend less of the day just like treating it like a normal day and like actually trying to be our best self. So something I've been doing is replacing like shows or things like, I need to be better at replacing my phone. But in terms of like shows and stuff, I replaced it with lectures, which is really good because then I literally feel more religious and more motivated, because guess what? I've been listening to lectures all day. I'm increasing my knowledge. And guys, the more a person learns about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that they'll love him and the more that they'll fear him. So keep learning. Like, we don't know enough. The freaking 5 years of Sunday school knowledge is not enough for us. I swear these kids be knowing more than me, the things I forgot. But it's so important to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the more you learn, the better your worship is going to be. Because guess what? Now you know more about who you're talking to, who you're making dua to. You know who you're praying to, who you're meeting every day for 5 times, even more inshallah in Ramadan. But I think it's so important, because free time is scary. Like I was talking about this in my YouTube video, that I just can't believe that I'm going to have to be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's going to ask me what I did with my time. And I'm supposed to tell him that in Ramadan I wasted my time? Like, are you kidding me? It is so scary, like the fact that we have to answer for everything. But if you are always trying to improve every aspect of your life, especially deen-wise, then you, inshallah, we will all have like a better experience on the Day of Judgment to not just like fall short in those areas in our life. You know, we can say that we were trying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that we were trying. So, like I said, spend the day learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just about the night. Number three, actively try not to sin. It's crazy how much we sin, but we don't clock. And I've noticed this because if I sit with myself for like literally, I'm not kidding, 1 hour or like a couple hours, and I'll be like, okay, I'm literally not going to sin at all, nothing. I am clocking all of the sins that I'm doing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, didn't even notice that. What about this? What about this? What about this? And I'm not saying this to get you in like a doom mindset, but I'm saying this as like to give you guys more perspective of how much forgiveness we should be asking for, because one of the du'as I like to make is, Ya Allah, forgive me for the sins of the past, the sins of today, and the sins of the future. And then also, I think I talked about this in a podcast, and also, forgive me for the sins that I know of and the sins that I don't know of. Literally, there are so many things we're doing that we don't even clock as sins because we're just so not detached, but like we disassociate, I think, for real, from all the things that we do. So definitely, I think that if you actively try not to sin, you become more aware and more in tune with your repentance, with you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And I'm talking even like, okay, so people who haven't like given up like TikTok and Instagram Reels and stuff, like in these last 10 days, try and mute it or try and delete the app. Like, do things that you didn't do in the other parts of Ramadan, you know? That's what I'm gonna try to do. Music, backbiting, missing salat, how we act with others, like everything, just try your best to be your best self. Like, imagine it's like a little trial period of who you could be if you put in the utmost effort, and inshallah, we take it with us after Ramadan. Okay, number four, be hopeful and confident, but write small goals. So I say this because I feel like if you are like me and you kind of beat yourself down a little bit, maybe a lot of it, and think like, oh, like, my friends went to Qiyam, or my mom like stays up for Qiyam, and I couldn't even wake up, like I missed my alarm, or I didn't read enough Quran, all that stuff. I say stay hopeful and stay confident because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for you to come to Him. He's waiting for you to put in that effort. But write down small goals so you can actually feel accomplished. So the thing I did is I made a to-do list, and I'm trying to do it for each night. And let me literally read to you. I showed it on YouTube, but let me literally read to you my to-do list from yesterday, even though I wasn't praying. So it was Sunday, the 22nd night, and I wrote, read Surat Al-Ikhlas 3 times, because apparently it is literally the reward of reading or reciting the whole Quran. Like, isn't that crazy? That's another mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's literally just Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And learning the meaning of this one too, I just started, y'all, like literally last week, maybe a few days after, but I started learning the meanings of the small surahs that we know, and it's just so much easier for me to focus when the sheikh is reciting or when I'm literally reciting it because I know what's being said. Like, we are supposed to know the Quran, we're supposed to study it, and we're supposed to learn it, and we don't, and that's crazy. And we should. Anyways, the second thing I wrote is follow along with the sheikh because I was on my period. I put do dhikr in your breaks, like literally walking to the car, dhikr. Constantly having dhikr on your lips and in your like free time is just such a like hack for always feeling connected. And we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that remember me and I will remember you. So if you're remembering him all day, guess what? Inshallah, he's gonna remember you all day. So I hope that for all of us. And then the last thing I had on my to-do list was to donate because we should be donating every single night. We should be doing it all the time, actually. But for these last 10 days, imagine you donate $10 on one of these days, and it's falls on Laylatul Qadr. That is literally you donating for more than 1,000 months. That's crazy. We need to use it. Like, don't beat yourself up. Just do little things, and inshallah, you will get rewarded for them. So that's the small goals I was talking about. And then after the small goals, you achieve them. Okay, now you feel great. Now that's a hit of dopamine. Now do some more. You see what I'm saying? Add more. Okay, number five. What do I do in the day? What? Oh. Okay, basically, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier about like not just starting it at Maghrib or whatever. Doing things in the day because it will. Did I already do this one? Okay, I guess I have like an extra one because I was basically saying it doesn't just switch. I mean, same thing as before Ramadan. Like, if we were working on our goals before Ramadan, it would have been so much easier to transition into Ramadan as opposed to those of you who didn't do anything like before Ramadan and then we tried to like switch the first day and it didn't last, unfortunately. So, same thing with the days of the last 10 days. Spend the day worshiping, even though it's not like the nighttime. And then your nighttime will also follow that same routine, inshallah. Okay. Number six, starting at Maghrib, not at Tarawih. So this is something that I literally saw a lecture about today. Today I saw a video of Omar Suleiman literally saying that most people lose their Laylatul Qadr before Aisha even starts. Why? Because they spent iftar gossiping and all that stuff. So I was like, wait, you can lose your Laylatul Qadr? Are you kidding me? Like, what if I, like, oh my god, it's just so scary. So basically, imagine you said a wrong joke or you commented on a girl's, like, outfit and you were rude about it. And guys, I'm not talking about the meanest of the mean. Like, we actually just the smallest things are considered backbiting, and I want to do an episode about it because it's so real, especially with the whole, but I love her, but like she's so annoying, kind of like tone that we like to validate ourselves with. We're like, oh no, but like, I'm not trying to say anything bad. It's just like, I don't know why she would do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't realize that that's such like a huge thing in Islam, backbiting, but like, we think it's like the super mean version of like, yeah, I don't like her, whatever, like she's the worst. No, it's literally so subtle, and that's why it's so scary, because we overlook the subtle sins. But anyways, back to this point, the night, like your Ramadan night starts as soon as like the Maghrib and then goes off. Like, it's not just after Tarawih when the night gets quiet and like now it's like vibey and you have Qiyam and you have all that stuff. It literally starts at Maghrib, which is so scary because it's really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to see like, okay, here's the food that you've been waiting for all day. Here's all of your like community around you. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna remember me or are you going to like prioritize being social and not and like falling into sin just like we do regularly? You see what I'm saying? So that's something I want to focus on, just like getting into the zone of the last 10 nights after Maghrib, not later, like after Tarawih. Okay, number seven, understand what I'm asking for. One of the biggest things that helped me connect with like Ramadan or like ibadah and even repentance is literally understanding what I'm asking for. So I don't know about y'all, but I have been in like my whole life, when I stand in dua for witr with the imam, I never knew what he was saying. Like, obviously it's in Arabic and I don't understand Arabic, so it was like hard for me to focus in my duas. And so at first I just tried to like, I understood like a few words, like taqabbal is accept, or like you know what I mean, like those things, but it wasn't enough. And so I suggest going home and doing your own dua after, or if you're staying at the masjid, doing your own dua after. And I don't even mean by yourself. Literally open YouTube and it'll be the same dua, because a lot of the sheikhs use the same like long dua, and it has English meaning. So I want you to like listen to them and read the meaning, so that the next times that you're in witr with the sheikh and you're at the masjid, you're low-key understanding some of the stuff. And I feel like a lot of my understanding came from like when I was working and I did like the morning adhkar every day. The video that I used, which I'm gonna link under this podcast, was actually I put it on the Patreon too, but I'll put it on here or on my story. Remind me if I don't. What was I saying? I feel like that video helped me so much, because every morning I would hear the same du'as or same dhikr, and then I would also see the meaning. So I was like, period, like, now I'm understanding. I'm asking for Allah to let me into Jannah. I'm asking for to forgive my sins. I'm asking for protection for the whole day. I'm asking for, I say that I seek refuge. All that stuff, like, I didn't understand before. you will connect so much better by understanding. And that's why I was talking about earlier with actually reading the Quran with the Sheikh and reading the meaning is so much more beneficial because you're actually connecting with it. You know, like, I feel like we always try to focus on quantity in Ramadan, which is good, but like quality. Like my older sister was telling me, if you just focus on one surah, like قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, the whole like last 10 days, you're so focused on connecting with that surah and you're reciting it all the time and you're seeing like the tafsir, all that stuff is so beneficial because now you're going to spend the rest of your year praying. And if you pray with that surah, you're going to be actually understanding. You know what I mean? Quality or quantity, for real. But I don't know if that's Islamic, so do both. LOL. Okay, number 8. Be alone as much as you can. And I know you guys probably think I'm saying this because I literally moved away from my family and friends, so I have to be alone. But no, I straight up think that this experience, like Ramadan away from home, has been such like an eye-opening experience for me because I had to learn how to be a Muslim by myself. Do you see what I'm saying? Like away from the people that pushed me my whole life, I have to see like what kind of Muslim am I? And I have a lot of reflections about that because you really don't know who you are as a Muslim until you like see who you are by yourself. So if you are surrounded by a good community, alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that and allow him, ask him to keep that in your life. However, definitely try to stay a little bit away from the super social aspect of Ramadan. Like if you're staying with your girls for Qiyam, but y'all are spending the whole time chit-chatting, it was that girl and I loved being that girl. I miss it so much. However, I wasted so much time because I literally prioritized like being with friends and like treating it like a sleepover instead of what it really is. And that's just what growing up is. You start to realize the important things in your life and then you just have to choose your priority. So what's your priority this Ramadan? What's your priority in the last 10 days? Is it to hang out with friends or is it to focus on your worship? This is crazy that I sound like my mom. She would literally be like clapping if she heard me right now. She's like, finally, I told you. I was always trying to tell you. Thanks, mama. So sweet to me. But I'm actually nervous for like how I'm going to be and how the rest of my Ramadan is going to go when I go back to Texas and I see my friends and family because now literally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me in both ways. He's like, how are you alone and how are you with friends and how does that differ? And I'm so nervous. Oh my gosh, guys. Hopefully I do well. Hopefully I don't fall back into like being super social and I focus on my worship. There's definitely a good balance of both. I definitely think that friends and family can push you in the best and right way, which I have experienced that, alhamdulillah. But there's nothing comparable to worship when you're alone. Why? Because sincerity is one of the most important things in Islam. Like you can't just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and like not care. You know what I mean? Like yeah, please forgive me. Like you, astaghfirullah, you can't do that. Like you actually have to really want it and really think in your head like I am never gonna do this sin again. And I know that a lot of you guys were saying like sometimes it's hard for you to deep the fact that like you ask for forgiveness even though you know almost for a fact that the next day you are going to probably do it again. Keyword probably, babe. In that moment that you're making dua, think that you are never going to do it again. For real. It's not sincere if you don't. Now, if you do it again tomorrow, okay, repent again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who sin and repent. And that's who we are as humans. So get to it, girl. But yeah, I think there's so much sincerity in solitude because no one's watching. You're not impressing anybody. You're not I don't know, you know what I mean? Like it's really shows who you are and how far you're willing to go if you are worshiping like by yourself because it speaks volumes. I feel like it's getting late and that's why I'm starting to like not babble, but like my words are not making sense. So good thing I have only two more. Okay, number 9, put my phone away. Put your phone away. Y'all know that Dance Moms meme? You preach theater etiquette to our kids, put your phone away. And then Abby Lee Miller just pulls her wheelchair back, or I don't know what it was. I love that meme. But basically, what I'm trying to say is, and I don't know if y'all feel this too, or maybe I'm the only one who's freaking fiercely addicted to my phone. It is so embarrassing. I feel like an iPad baby. Like, I actually feel like an iPad baby. Because why am I on my phone on the way to Tarawih? Like, why am I not doing dhikr? Okay? Also, doing dhikr. Did I talk about dhikr yet? Oh, sorry. That's the next thing. Oops. Spoiler. But our phone is such a huge, huge distraction. Like, I feel like I'm refreshing every social media page, and I should have just deleted them. But I wanted to do a balance of, like, posting beneficial things in Ramadan, like this podcast and my YouTube and things like that, to replace music or things that you guys were watching before. But I'm going to start leaving my phone at home because I want to disconnect. And the brain, like, our brains can't sit and read Quran for an hour after scrolling for an hour. Guess why? Because our brains on TikTok are literally expecting different stimulation every single time we scroll with our finger. And so then we try and sit in Quran and we don't like it. We don't enjoy it. We can't physically sit for that long because we're becoming iPad babies. And we can't do that. So I definitely think, like I was talking about earlier, not spending your whole day like scrolling and like not filling your free time with just your phone is beneficial, not only for the moment but also for the rest of your day. Like, it really does set the tone. Okay, number 10, the last one, is a little bit of everything. And now I literally can't even take credit for this because someone DM'd me. No, didn't DM me. I think it was on my YouTube channel. I asked them to comment tips for Laylatul Qadr, and someone was like, oh, you know what, let me freaking read it. Nope, it was on the Patreon, of course. But someone commented, also a tip for Laylatul Qadr is to time every act of ibadah or worship you are doing so that you do a little bit of everything. For instance, you can read Quran for an hour and then dhikr for an hour and so on. That way you'll be able to maximize your time and get diverse good deeds for all the different acts of ibadah that you're doing. Guys, we know that Laylatul Qadr is equal or more to 1,000 months. So why are we not doing a little bit of everything so that we have those rewards for that entire time? So, for example, if you spend the whole night, like, stressing about, like, how much you're going to pray, you may have forgotten to do dhikr or Quran or all that stuff. So the things that I wrote down that I'm going to try to do a little bit of everything of is dhikr. So I want to fill my free time with dhikr. Today on the way back from the masjid, I wrote down like how many dhikrs I wanted to do, and then I literally did them on the way home, which is just such a good way to, like, use your free time, you know. I was not listening to anything. I was not, like, talking to anyone. It's just solitude and dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I really loved that, and it made me feel connected. Dua, I think dua is obviously so important for Laylatul Qadr. Why? Because this is the night where your life, I think it's the next year. Yeah, the next year of your life is, like, written. Like, the decree is set. However, dua on Laylatul Qadr can literally change your life. Like, it can change what was written. So that's why it's so important to spend the nights making dua. What do you want? What do you want your life to look like? And guys, I'm so sorry. Or I'm actually not sorry. Sorry, Demi Lovato. Use the opportunity to ask for whatever you want. If you want, and guys, okay, there's two things. Whatever you want, ask for it. I don't care how, like, easy it is. If you want a new laptop, if you want to feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think we, like, forget about how much we can actually ask for, materialistic or spiritual or anything, literally anything. Like, it doesn't have to be, of course, like, the popular du'as are very, very good and important. They're the Prophet's du'as, the Quranic du'as, and du'as of the Prophets. But you can also make your own, and I feel like it'll make you feel so much more connected to Islam and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are asking the provider to provide you with whatever you would like. Now, obviously, everything you ask, like, follow it with, like, accept my dua if it's good for me, or take it away if it's bad for me, like an istikhara dua, because we really don't know what's best for us. We are literally bugs. Get the reference? I'm kidding. So, like I said, very important to ask for literally whatever you want. And then, what was the second thing I wanted to say? I forgot. Okay, anyways. So, yeah, doing dua. Number three, helping. I'm sorry, but I want to spend 1,000 months helping others or feeding others, because how many good deeds is that? To feed a fasting person, to help people at the masjid, pass out water, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, those things are so important, and they're also considered acts of worship. Even smiling to people. You know, like, you're already doing so much if you're someone who smiles at everyone. Like, continue. And then the fifth one is prayer. I can't wait to pray again, for real. Like, I think I get to shower tonight, so I'm really happy about that. If you are not praying, I already talked about that. Don't fret. And then the last one is Quran. I feel like Quran is, like, the one thing I didn't fully, like, get into this Ramadan, and I wish I did. And although sometimes it makes me uncomfortable to share these things with you guys, I feel like it really helps you guys see that there are people out there who also struggle with things. And so just because there was an area that you weren't too, like, strong in, whether yours was prayer or modesty or dua or dhikr, you still have time. And I think take advantage of doing a little bit of everything. And because I feel like that's something that you can take with you after Ramadan too, which probably next week's episode is going to be what to take with you after Ramadan, but I don't know yet, so keep that a little secret. But yeah, so those are my 10 things for the last 10 nights. I feel like every year, Ramadan just becomes so different, like, just experiences, feelings, connections, locations, like, every Ramadan is different, so, and we don't know if we're going to make it to the next Ramadan, so ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach next Ramadan and finish this Ramadan strong, to accept all of our du'as and give us what is best for us and take away what is not good for us. Allahumma ameen. I hope you guys finish strong, like I said, and don't lose hope. That's what I want you to take away from this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, and do not lose hope in that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is who you think he is. He is who you view him as. So if you view him as merciful, he is merciful. So believe in it. Believe in it. Love you guys as always. Assalamu alaikum. I will see you next week. Bye.